Julián.
Good morning. We're going to hear from the Lord today, and I'm so excited. Seems like I've been preparing this message for a whole year because I think Pastor Barry was sick first week of the year this year, January 1st. So I was called in to share the news or message January 1st of this year. January 1st of this year was also Sunday. It only happens every 8 years, you know. So it was very significant. And I cannot believe I'm already preaching the last message of the year. Isn't it wild? Did you know that 365 days is gone? Wow, I think we need prayer before we begin. Let's pray. Father, we want you to touch us today. For some of us, it's been the glorious 365 days. Wonderful. A lot of good things happened. Rejoicing. And for some of us, went through a hard time. It was the most difficult year of their lives. They struggled. They're just thanking God that they survived. So Father, we bring this life that we spent on last 365 days to you and say, regardless, we thank you. We praise you unconditionally. We bring this living sacrifice at the altar, for we expect the fire to come down and consume that sacrifice. Lord, without the sacrifice at the altar, no fire will come. So Holy Spirit, God, come. Speak to us. Minister to us. Show us. Guide us. Let us feel something. And let us understand the percept and concept and principles that we could walk away. That we will finally make the turn today. And we'll never live like yesterday. We'll never live like yesteryears. We'll never be satisfied with stuff that we had until now. Everything will become always, oh Lord, everything will become new. Behold, everything has become new. Let that word of God be real, Lord, and realize that, and we'll live that out from today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. Woo! How many of you know that it's going to be a great time today? Today's message will be totally unfiltered because Jenny's not here. Jenny's under the weather. She tried to get out in the morning. I said, no, stay. You don't want that. Because she was suffering from cold. I gave it to her 2 weeks ago in Maui. And I suffered through that. I'm fine now, but she's now going through. But I said, Jenny, it's okay. You know, I'll say hello for you. But today is no Jenny filter. So it's going to be just raw and real. And so if you ever tell her, like, is that what happens? Then, I didn't say that, you know. And so, 365 days. I kind of meditate on that today. And I said, Lord, really, I don't want to live on the faith that I had last year. You know, I really believe that we need to graduate and move on to real life, every stages of your life. And 1 year is the same thing. I pray that 2023 is enough. Then you need to graduate from 2023 and move into the real life of 2024. What do I mean by that? You know, my first child's now 38, so I can't believe she's 38. She's an old lady now. My first child, 38, and you know, as a parent, it's so exciting to see your children, your child progress and move on to the next phase. And I was so excited. I was attending my first child's kindergarten graduation. Elementary graduation. And you know, It was so cute. And of course, they have Vela Victoria in the top of the class, elementary. And this little girl and came out. And she was the Vela Victoria. And she, beautiful voice, little, so cute. She said, "Now that we graduate from elementary and entering into the real world of junior high," everybody laughed like, but then I thought, you know what? For her, you know how scary it would be for a little girl who graduating from elementary to go to junior high, the real world. And I think she's looks smart. She's smart enough to graduate from her junior high as a Vela Victorian again. And you could imagine her saying that now we're graduating from our junior high and entering into the real world of high school. And she'll become again Vela Victorian. Out of high school, she said, now that we graduate from high school, we enter the real world of college. And as she graduated college, realized college today is yesterday's high school. So is that now we graduate from college, we're entering into the grad school. What happens when you go grad school? You become jobless. And so now when you enter into the grad school, you say, now we enter into this job market, it's uncertain whether I'm going to get a job. Every stage is a real life happens. 2023 happened. And I'm so glad it's over. Because I lost 5 of my best friends. It's just unbelievable. I lost 5 friends in 1 year. I was up in the mountain leading a retreat this weekend, and I had to shortcut my revival meeting at retreat in the mountain to come down and had a meeting in K-Town, Koreatown, last night. Because we graduated 1984 together. And so a bunch of us, we graduate 84 together, have been meeting almost every year for the last 40 years. That's pretty cool, right? And I'm the guy who kind of calls the meeting and say, hey, let's get together. It's about 20 of us. Got together yesterday again, 40th time. And to recognize that, wow, good 3 of our buddies who graduate together is gone. You know, life happens. Life moves on. And I don't want to make that an issue to God. It's just, Lord, thank you, moved on. But Lord, I do not want to live based on my faith that I held dear in 2023. I want to graduate, Lord. I want to move on, right? You know, just like the song that we sang. It's the first time I'm hearing the song that I don't want to. What was the song that I want to stay in the room or something? I want to break through. I'm like, that was like so cute. Yeah, you don't want to go anywhere that God is not leading. But the point of the song is not for you to stay in the room. The point of the song is you need to get out of the room. Because Jesus never stayed in the room, right? Our God is always going, God. 2/3 of God is go. Whoa, that was so profound. When we say God, you have to say go first. Our God is going, God. He always moves. He goes somewhere. Don't ever think that I'm staying, I'm comfortable, I'm happy, I'm here. Lord, I don't want to go anywhere. No, you need to go somewhere. I don't care if you stay and live in the same location. I don't care about the location. It's not about the location. It's about where are you going with the Lord this year? Where is he taking you to? Wow. See, 2,000 years ago, Jesus met a bunch of people just like you and me. And this is a crazy part. When you really learn the history and study and meditate, you know, the Jesus faced the audience, looked just like you and me, who had problems, who had issues, who was going through a difficult time, who also was having fun, thriving, enjoying, and they thought they're on top of the world. They didn't know the next day, one phone call would change everything. You know, it's one of those things that one phone call from my friend, hey, Bob, you know that writing buddy? Yeah, he drowned, man. What? One phone call. We were planning a motorcycle trip again. And I did so many motorcycle trips, and then we did 12-day tour to Mexico. He's like the wonderful, wonderful friend. One phone call, he drowned, swimming in the ocean. The adventure of the crazy guy, we're just one phone call away. And everybody suffered through that and carried that burden and don't understand and argue with God. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus met a bunch of these people. And Jesus is speaking. And he says, ask, seek, and knock. Wow. That's something that I've been meditating. And I said, Lord, because I just finished writing a commentary on the book of Matthew. And book of Matthew. And in Matthew 7:7, Jesus says to the crowd that is going through life, just like you and me. It says, ask, seek, and knock. And every verb that is written in IPA. IPA is not kind of beer that you drink. It's imperative, present, active. IPA, right? Think about that. Jesus says ask, but he doesn't ask nicely to ask you to ask. He commands you to ask. It's a little different, you know. Jesus didn't say, well, ask me if you feel like it. You have choice. No, ask. Ask me. It's in command. It's like, okay, I'll ask you. Okay, I'll ask you. Ask what? Ferrari? We all want Ferrari, don't you? No. The most famous ask verse in the Bible for me is Psalm 2:8. Ask of me, I will give you a nation. Wow. When that word of God became real to me at age 18, I was doing a discipleship training called Master Life, and Master Life, they turn all the verses, Bible verses, into a song. And at age 18, I was getting trained, and they said, this is the verse from Psalm 2:8, ask of me, I will give you nation. It will be inheritance for you. It will be your inheritance for you. My children asked of me, I will give you nation. It is your inheritance for you. You know, that word became so real. I said, God, I want a nation. I want to be a nation taker. 1973, I came to America at age 12. Went to Culver City Junior High. I think I was like sixth Asian in the whole school. 1973, Culver City Junior High. I walked in, everybody started calling me Chink, Nip, and Jap. 50 years ago in America, in Culver City, they were so unshamefully racist. I suffered through that 6 years. I don't want to live in America. I hate America. Let me go back to my country. And then I read this text. It said, ask for me, I will give you a nation. And I said, God, if that's you, give me a nation, Lord. And you know, later realized it was not in Psalm 2:8 the first time it was mentioned. It was first mentioned in Genesis 12, when God all of a sudden showed up in Revelation and spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, now you're 75 years old, you have established, you have settled down, you have a retirement plan, you got your retirement plan, you are wealthy, you have wealth, you have fame, and now leave, go to the land I will show you, because I will make you a great nation. I will make you a great name. I will. And I said, Lord, that's the kind of faith I want to bank on. Not a faith that guarantees comfort and security and I have enough so that I don't have to worry. Let me go play golf and have a heart attack and die at the golf field, Lord. What a glorious life. I said, no, Lord. I want to die going somewhere. I want to die doing your will. I want to die and I want my life to count. And I want people to say, well, there goes a nation taker. There goes a nation taker. And nothing changed. 44 years into going into, I said, Lord, you told me, you commanded me to ask, and I'm asking you now, give me a nation, but do it now, present, now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, now. Tomorrow never happens. Ask him now. And active. Wow. I said, Lord, let it be. You know, my heart language is still Korean, and I read a whole bunch of Korean books, and so I'm so glad, because a lot of these great Korean classic Christian books never gets translated into English. And some of these Korean spiritual leader that I follow, and I was reading his book, and he said, I start counting the days of my life, because the Bible said count your days. What does that mean? Today is mine. 22,728 day. What do you think 22,728 represent? That's how many days I lived in my life, because I'm 62. From September 20th, 1961, I started counting backward, forward, and then I realized, wow, and then ever since then, I've been writing it in my diary. I now live 22,700, tomorrow will be 22,729th day, and I want that to count, that day to count for eternity. I want to do something that day that will matter for eternity. Remember January 1st, I said, I declare 2023 to be the year that I refuse to do nothing daily. That was my message. I know you forgot. Yeah. I declare personally for me, 2023 will be the year that I refuse to do nothing daily. I did something daily for the kingdom of God. And I want that to matter for eternity. And I, you know, because one of the calling that God has given me is to write commentary and write books and write textbook. Did you know that I published 22 books last year? Just this year. Yeah, there are two kinds of people in the world. One who published 22 books a year, or people who don't. And that's okay. Right? Oh, and by the way, I have to do this also. Remember one sermons ago or two sermons ago, I said that, hey, guess what? I wrote to Guinness World Record. Remember that? And I said, well, it's so easy, right? Well, they just wrote me back and saying that, no, you don't qualify. I said, why? I've been to 64 countries and drink 1,000 coffees, and I catalog everything, and I published. It doesn't qualify. They said, well, unless you drink 1,000 cups of coffee in 10 days, it doesn't qualify. So, what? I'm going to be dead. Yeah, so it's not that easy. After my message, a little boy, I don't know who he was, came up to me and said, sir, I know one thing. I learned one thing today. I said, what? That anybody could get Guinness World Record. I'm like, oh, so cute. I took a picture with him. Yeah. And people say that, wow, you're feeling bad that you're not going to be Guinness World Record? No. So I'm starting a brand new genre called Bob's World Record Publication. So I'll be publishing Bob's World Record, and I'll be putting up all the stuff that is a world record quality that hardly 1 out of 8 billion hasn't done so far. You know, can I tell you one more thing that I'll be actually going to my publishing genre of Bob's World Record? One is that I just wrote 10,278th prayer today, which means from last 28 years ago, I was writing my diary. I said, you know what, it would be kind of neat to write one prayer a day, but numbered. You know, I mean, if God can number our hair, surely he could know my prayer by number. So 28 years ago, one day, I started writing prayer number one, pray for my wife, Jenny. Prayer number two, prayer for my Elisa, my daughter, and on and so forth. And every revival meetings, every preaching that I engage in my entire life has a number of prayer written on it, this sermon included. That means 28 years of writing a prayer. And then I was going to ask the Guinness World Record, hey, did anybody do that? They will say, no, unless you could write 10,000 letters in 2 days. You know. So I said, forget them. You know, I'm just going with my record. Is your days counted? Do you really live on the faith that God's going to bring to the next life? You know, 2023 is over, guys. Would you tell your neighbor, it's over. Tell your neighbor, it's over. 2023 is over. Right? And you did well. You did not die. I'm so thankful. I'm so glad you guys are all here. Right? 5 is enough, right? No, really. Let's hug ourselves. Can we go like this? And go like this. Oh, you did well. You did not die. 2023. You did so well. You survived. Now let's do more than surviving. Let's thrive. 2024. And let go of the 2023 faith. You know, it is so amazing when I see so-called seasoned Christians who've been Christian for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and they're still at that elementary level. I'm like, what are you doing, man? It's like, yeah, I'm serving the Lord. My service to the Lord is coming to Sunday service. That's it. That's your service unto the Lord. Jesus, who died on the cross 2,000 years ago for you, that you are going to hell, and he saved you from death like that, and for the last 40 years, your service unto the Lord is coming to a Sunday service? Come on, man. It's like, well, 2 + 2 = 4. Oh, so good, Johnny, because he's 3 years old. 2 + 2 = 4. What? That you're 47, man. What the heck? Come on, graduate from 2 + 2 = 4. Go into quantum physics or do something. Like quantum physics, oh, nobody understands quantum physics. There are a lot of people doing quantum physics, they don't know what it is, but they still make a living. I like that kind of stuff. How do you make living? Because I asked the guy who's in quantum physics, what is quantum physics? I don't know. But you're a PhD in quantum. Yeah. And I teach that. Like, dude, you're good. You're full of faith. It's like, I want someone to step up and do this kind of quantum physics-like faith. Like, what are you talking about? We don't understand what you're talking about. But later, it all makes sense. Like, wow, is that what you meant? You know, the quantum physics is about to launch their computer. And when it's launched, man, it's going to change everything. It's going to change everything. You know, I want to hear faith like that. When Abraham heard God saying that you'll be a nation, God said, God, are you kidding me? I don't even have a child. But you will be a great nation, Abraham. Lord, I'm childless. Your name will be great. My father's an idol maker. You will be source of blessing. I haven't blessed anybody in my entire life at 75. It was all for me, myself, and my family. But for some reason, first thing that he did, after hearing God in a vision, he took the step of faith and started moving. He moved. He went to the place that the Lord was showing. Wow. I pray that you will leave 2023 behind. Let's step out in faith and do something wild and crazy for the Lord. Amen? No more 2 + 2 = 4. Come. Your name isn't Johnny, and you're not 4. Right? You are 47. You are 56. You've been with the Lord for 20 years plus. Come on. Let's shock God. Like, whoa, what happened? Impress me. Wow, you impressed me. How'd you do that? Right? Not same old, same old. Because I believe that COVID is over, and I think COVID was a huge reset button that God pushed. Everything's reset. We cannot go back. You know, I discovered ChatGPT. How many of you know heard what ChatGPT is? Oh, my Lord. I heard about it. I never venture into it. You know, I marked the day, December 11th morning. Because people start asking me, and like, Okay, I get a university asking me, can you teach from January 29th 16 lecture on mixing the Buddhism, Cambodia, patron-client concept? And I said, wow, how do you mix Buddhism in the context of Cambodia in a sociological patron-client? Well, that's my PhD on patron-client. So he said, can you do that for MDiv, Master of Divinity, and Bachelor? One in English and one in Korean. Like, wow, that's a tall order. That's wild. But then I heard there's a thing called ChatGPT. So I said, I mean, how smart can ChatGPT be, right? So I asked ChatGPT, hey, ChatGPT, it's a free program. Hey, can you mix, correlate patron and client in socio-anthropological concept into Buddhism in Cambodia in the Christian church planting? Bam! 16 lecture outline in 10 seconds. And unless you are in the field and study and did your doctorate course, you wouldn't understand if it's legit or not. But it was 85% legit. I was like blown away. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding? You know, I just finished my 100th book without using GPT as of this year. Wow, I think next year I'll be publishing about 100 books a year. You know, because crazy thing about ChatGPT is because you are using it, you hold the copyright of that particular book. And you know, and then I said, wait a minute, whoa, time out. You know, I got goosebumps, like, wow, it's a game changer, isn't it? And of course, Jenny's sleeping in the other room. I mean, I wake up really early, like 4:30, and I start drinking lots of coffee, you know. I want to be fully caffeinated and full of Christ, you know, at the same time. That's deadly combination, like fully caffeinated, full of Christ, right? Yeah. My record this year is 13 cups before 9 a.m. I was like, whoa, that was pretty awesome, yeah. So it's one of those like, what? Are you kidding me? Because, see, I was holding on to this folder like this, and I've been carrying for 2 years, you know, and I've been to like 6 countries this year. I fold onto this folder because I just start a Soren Kierkegaard Research Center in Korea just this year. So we're going there, going to start living there for a while. So Soren Kierkegaard is a Danish philosopher who, you know, died 168 years ago. But we just launched the center, and we occupied a building or room, and so we start launching it. We published about 5 books already together. And I said, you know what? We need to publish Soren Kierkegaard philosophy book for kindergartners with a lot of pictures. And so my idea was, why don't we do A through Z of Soren Kierkegaard philosophy, A through Z, kindergarten version with all the graphics. And so 2 years I've been carrying. And with my team, I'll be saying, you know, A should be this, and D should be despair. I'm like, oh no, maybe not good for kindergarten. You know, he's a philosopher of despair. He's like, oh yeah, that will be not. So when it was so successful, I said, hey, ChatGPT, can you give me Soren Kierkegaard, Danish philosopher, philosophy into A through Z, alphabetize his philosophy? Boom. 10 seconds. A, authenticity. I was blown away. 2 years I couldn't do with my team, it did in 10 seconds. And so I checked all the alphabet, it's legit. It is the core of Kierkegaard's philosophy. And I said, okay, then how do I turn into graphic? Well, in order to turn graphic, you have to pay $20 a month. I don't care. I'll pay $20 a month. So I subscribe and cut out authenticity in the one paragraph, and then give me a graphic. It gave me a beautiful graphic. I said, oh Lord, I'll be writing 100 books a year from now. It was pretty legit. Well, it misspelled authenticity. It's just only flaw, you know, that's okay. We're all fobs, you know, and so Why am I saying this? The world has changed. Your faith last year, your faith 2023, your faith for your love for the Lord 2023 is not enough. Let's move on. Let's graduate and face the real world that demands real faith, that demands you to change, transform, and challenge the world. You know, the world is challenging Christians day in, day out. Oh, my Lord, help me. I was in Korea with my wife, my favorite wife. And every time we go, and we always take a day, you know, Jenny said, honey, I got to go shopping. And I hate shopping next to death. It's like, why do we shop? We could just order. That's what we have Amazon for, right? I said, no. So she goes to this underground shopping center by the, you know, and she spent 3 hours just, and I said, okay, so honey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to a nice cafe, and I'll be reading my book. You come back, right? And after 3 hours, 4 hours, I don't care. So that's the deal. So she, okay, that's great. You know, she's so happy. But right in front of that place, there was this, like, jewelry store or whatever, and Jenny said, hey, you know, why don't we look around? And I said, oh, okay. So I'll just entertain you. And then I walk up to the guy and say, hey, where do you sell any cross? He looked at me like, and that was kind of weird look. He said, cross? Why are you looking for a cross? And I realized, huge store, they only had one cross. See, the way I remember Korea, just 10 years ago, you would have literally 80 different kind of cross you could choose from. Within that short 10 years, the Christianity, the Christians in Korea has been so blackmailed by the media. The Christians are stupid. Christians are backward. They are no good for the country. That, wow. And then I thought, what's happening in the world? Right? What's happening in the world? Right? What are they saying? You know, how many young people are leaving church in America today? Same percentage number that left church in Korea. Young people are leaving church. It's irrelevant. You guys are nonsense. I'm so glad to see some young people here. It's not visible. There's no visibility of young people in any church in America these days. Why? Because they just signed up. It's like, forget this. This religion. This faith stuff. Old. And that's the day that I actually decide to wear my cross now. Because it was so fashionable to wear a cross in olden days, I refused to wear it. We need to go counterculture, right? And now that nobody wants to even be caught dead wearing cross, okay, I'm going to wear a cross. And in white and against the black so it'll be visible. No hidden cross, man. I'm right here, man. Right here. Take up your cross, man. Follow me, as Jesus said. Let's really pray and wrap up this year well. That you wake up from tomorrow and say, God, it's brand new day, brand new year. I don't want to live on yesteryear's faith. I don't want to live by yesteryear's principle. I don't want to live like yesteryear. No! Let it be a brand new year. Behold, everything has become new. Amen? And you will rock the world. You will rock your own world, your own family, your own relatives and cousins and nephews. Like, are you on drug or something? Why are you so different today? Because it's a brand new day, brand new year. I want to live for my Lord. I want to make difference. I want to tell the world, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. Jesus, he's my Lord and my Savior for since so many years ago. And I said, Jesus, how can I make difference in this world that wow, I can't believe I came to America 50 years ago, walking to Culver City Junior High, and everybody called me Chink and Nip, Jet and Gook, and I have to go through that, man. And I thought, surely it's a better place. But racism's back. It's become fashionable. Against Asians and Koreans is multiplied 300, 400, 500 times. Thanks to the political system and thanks to the culture that it's like, I'm American. Where do you want me to go? So Lord Jesus, come. Teach us. As a kingdom child, Lord, we'd like to see this and face the brand new year with confidence, knowing that you go with us. You are God of universe. You are God who created. You are God who say, I love you. You count. I want you to matter for this life. So Holy Spirit, God, would you come? Speak to this, especially young people today. To live as a Christian in this world, Lord, is such a challenge. To bear the cross, never mind to wear one, of our lives, Lord, when you demand so much, the world demands so much from us, and we cannot meet the demand, and we always fall short of their expectation. So Holy Spirit, would you empower us today? Because we want to matter, Lord, to the world. We want to make difference, Lord. We want to become that person, the beacon of light in darkness that they say, look at this guy, look at this gal, look at this family that makes difference in this darkness. The storm comes in life and they will say, well, there is a family that we could go to when I go through struggles and pains and our loved ones dying. You know, when one of my best writing buddy died, and some of my friends start asking, hey, how come? Why? They're asking the fundamental questions of life. Because he should not die at age 62, 61. No way. Too young. Why did our friend die? Do you have answer? Can you say Jesus is the answer? And look at my life. This is how I live because he's the answer. So, Father, the history is repeating itself of racism and hate. And Father, I just pray that our children will find their identity, not in their ethnicity, but in Christ. And say, in Christ, Lord, I stand. And in Christ, Lord, I face this world. I face America. I face the world. And I will represent Jesus in my life. And become the ambassador of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Bless this last day of 2020. This last year, Father. I pray, let it be all pass away. Let it be a brand new year. Brand new year. With so much promises and so much blessings and love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, meekness, they will just come and touch us, Lord. Take away dross, negativity, anger, bitterness, frustration, anger toward you, and unfaithfulness. God, take away those. Fill them with love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness. Fill it, Lord. Let brand new year truly be a brand new year, Lord. From tomorrow, let our faith finally take that turn and never come back to that old self again. Behold, everything has become new. Let it be our confession. We thank you, we praise you, we give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give God a big hand, shall we?
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.